This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey guys, we've got your House of Cards after show here at AfterBuzz TV, Chapter 61 and 62, right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, welcome to our House of Cards after show here at AfterBuzz TV. We are your panel today, and we are Shaka-less.
That's what we're Shaka. We don't know where you are.
We don't have Shaka. So I'm taking care of you today. I am Kevin Ellis. Guys, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheKevinEllis. Know that you can find us in our chat room. Luisa's taking that over. Luisa, yep. Tell us where they can find you on social media.
Hi, After Buzzers. Welcome. I'm so happy to be back. My name is Luisa Sharamatian. You can find me on Instagram at NobodyReads anymore and on Twitter at NobodyReads.
Hey guys, my name is Taylor Gates. You can find me on Twitter at @Alphabet_Anne and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
Thank you, ladies. Well, it was a great pair of episodes that we had. Some shock. I know that you were really thinking that we were going to have a long, drawn-out election.
I did,
What did you think about it starting off? Just with the election ending.
Now that I'm seeing, like, the next two episodes, I'm really glad that they didn't drag it out. It just felt like they were so committed to making it last as long as they could, but I'm glad they didn't, so.
And the fact that they showed how quickly they leaked Conway's, you know, crazy episode in the airplane, and, you know, Frank calling him and offering him that job as a, what was that, a transportation clerk or a secretary?
Secretary.
Yeah. Just all of these things that we're trying to see right now come alive, but I'm just happy finally we have them in the White House, but I want more.
Yeah, it was fascinating how it just abruptly ended, which, as you said, it wasn't too shocking. I mean, it felt like it was getting to that point. Conway was dead in the water, and same with Brockhart. There was no way that they were going to recover from that.
And I don't like how Hannah did not want to support him. I understand he has done a lot of mistakes, but he's a veteran. He's been through so much. At least go outside with him and make the speech.
Yeah.
Don't be a baby about it. Well, that was my opinion.
And that just, I feel like, highlights the difference between their relationship and Frank and Claire's. Because Frank and Claire, like, Claire would never not go. You know what I mean?
We've seen them fight so many times, but, you know, Claire sucks it up, goes outside, and makes the speech.
And even when Frank is tough on her, even when Frank almost seems disloyal, puts her down, she still comes through because she knows that she has to get the job done to get to her goal. So is it that Hannah just did not have the passion that Claire has?
I think just like Conway had, I always say Conway, not Kanye. Just like Conway said, you know, Hannah picked out the China already for the White House, right? And that dream did not come alive. So she, as a woman, she's just trying to deal with all the personal stuff right now. You know, the shock of not making it to the White House.
And she's just so different from Claire, just to how she acts, how she carries herself. I remember the conversation they had maybe last season where she's like, Claire, do you ever regret not having children? Like, there's just such a difference between the two of them, and that just, like, shone through so much.
It makes us think if Conway and Hannah, if they were in the White House, would they succeed? Being that they can't even, you know, make speeches together anymore or just support each other, you know? I don't know.
It's very interesting to see the parallels between the Conways and the Walkers. How they both were, at least Garrett and Will, both had the same type of youthful passion and promise in the political realm. And Frank just rolled right over them. Yeah. And their wives really weren't there for them when they really needed them to be. And I think that that is the resounding difference between the two, as you both pointed out. Claire is there in the way that those two wives weren't. And she is the backbone of that relationship.
So. I think Frank also has to treat Claire with respect. He's been kind of very negative towards her.
We'll talk about that more.
But that woman knows everything you've done.
Yep.
And she's telling people now.
In bed. I mean, really?
I know. It's shocking, actually, how much he's putting her down. But we will get to that.
Yeah.
We'll start out with the fact that now that the two Underwoods have now claimed the White House, they're starting to clean house a little bit. Mm-hmm. And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Doug is kind of at the top of that in trying to get Leanne and Usher out, but he's only won one of those two. What do you think of him trying to push Leanne out? I know you were so gung-ho about their relationship.
I know. I don't... I just feel like Doug, kind of like we said about Frank, is super insecure and doesn't want anybody kind of messing with his territory, and so he just wants everyone that could possibly become sort of where he is and gain that... Because he's been so loyal to Frank, and the fact that other people are coming in who haven't proven themselves, I think that really bothers him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what I've noticed is that at the end, Frank and Claire are going to see Doug as a problem. Did you see that scene?
I'm sensing it. I don't like it, but I'm sensing it.
Yeah, because that guy knows everything as well. Yeah. So sure, they're pushing out Leanne, they're pushing out all these people, but who else knows everything? Doug.
Right.
So I think, you know, I'm fearful for him too.
Do you think that that's what all of this buildup has been with Hammerschmidt this entire time? Is that if he gets to Doug, he gets to the Underwoods? Because I feel like that that's what's coming. Is that if Hammerschmidt can find out everything that that Doug did with Rachel, now that he's, you know, instigated another problem with Lisa, which kind of came out of left field. Like, yeah. did you expect that to happen with Lisa?
Oh my God, he's so fishy, just walking up alley, and so he had something with him, so he was going to kill her, right? That injection?
Definitely going to drug her.
Yeah. Okay. So, but that's the only clue that we have that Hammerschmidt has as well.
Yeah.
And he's so slow. It's like, cracked the case already. You know? And I just have to say, did you see how the pictures of Rachel and Lisa were missing on the bulletin board?
Yeah.
Does he not lock his door? I mean, do you not have, you know, did you not back this up in your iCloud or something?
Right.
It makes you think.
Did you think that Doug was responsible for breaking on into Tom Hammerschmidt's office?
Yeah.
You do?
You know, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Because, I mean, who would? Who I don't really sense that.
Seth.
That's true.
Seth.
I don't. Again, I just don't know whether
Sean.
Sean is who I was going at.
So many S's, you guys. I'm sorry.
A lot of these characters do mesh. But Sean Jeffries, he got kicked out of the case to begin with. But he's still doing the legwork, doing the Anthony Moretti investigation. He went after the fund and is now talking to the former Secretary of Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. So
Meredith,
he's still involved.
I think that was her name. Right?
Meredith. So, he's still involved in this case, and he's trying to get into the White House, too, so...
I love how quickly Claire just shut him down, though.
Brilliant.
He was like, that's all I've ever wanted is to work in the house, in the White House, and she's like, okay, cool story, bye.
Yeah.
Like,
and she turned the whole story and said, well, he saved my husband's life.
Yeah.
You know, but... it's not going to go down easy, especially how we see Garrett actually playing along and talking to Romero, which we'll talk about more.
Mm.
For me, I just can't wait for the last three episodes.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
Garrett getting a backbone is a huge play. Leanne talking to Kate Baldwin, though, now that Leanne is being forced out of the administration... Kate Baldwin is back into the fray. She was one of the journalists early on in the series.
And used to sleep with Tom.
Yep, and she used to sleep with Tom.
Yeah. In the stripy socks, I just have to say.
And Tom kind of pushes that aside. You know, she was making advances on Tom during this episode, or was it 62? I can't remember.
She said, "You look sexy, but no, no, you look tired, but not in a sexy way."
But not in a sexy way.
Damn.
I know. What?
He has no identity. He's so, like, dependent on the White House.
I'm so over him. Yeah. I'm so over
him.
He
wants to leave, and Claire doesn't want him to leave, so he said, "How about you come back as a consultant?"
Right? And the fact that Frank, I think best line in probably the entire season so far is when he stands next to Tom during the inauguration ceremony. I can't say my words today. It's so hot
either,
in here. And guys, the air conditioning broke. Yeah. I think it's 90 degrees
if
in here.
I'm sweating, sorry.
It's going to my head. And these earmuffs do not help. But Tom stopped cheating on my wife.
And he says, "Amazing. WTF.
We've never seen Frank be so human and, you know, have human skills or just, you know, his vocabulary words. And finally, WTF, we can all relate to.
Very millennial.
And then, that one scene, Eric and Tom standing together being the lovers of the Underwoods, and that basement scene.
Well, let's talk about the basement scene.
What
the hell?
WTF.
We knew it was coming.
Choking
no
him.
Pun intended.
Oh my god.
Did you just take it there?
I took it there because you know it happened. But my god. It was going to that point, and the fact that it had to be in the staircase where all of some of the most important meetings in presidential history, it seems, or at least that's what it's played out to be, is that you had the Petrov meeting, and Frank has alluded to the fact that there have been big meetings in that staircase
before. Aiden's been there before.
Aiden's been there. That was a huge one for the series.
Even Petrov's, you know, cigar thing. Mm-hmm. But, I knew it was going to happen. Like I said, I felt that this was going to be Frank's lover.
Yeah.
And for a second, I thought it wasn't going to happen. What did you think? But then he choked him.
Choke out.
I still saw it coming, kind of.
Yeah.
Ever since the thing with Meacham, I was like, anything's possible in these people's
lives.
And
then we see how he walks back to the hallway to the picture where Meacham's handprints are.
Yeah.
Sits down. He did.
That's still in his mind. Now, I want to go back to Tom, because Tom Yates, you at one point in thought that there was going to be something between Frank and Tom. I mean, there was some sexual tension between the two of them. Mm-hmm. That never played out. I mean, he fell for Claire.
Okay.
That never played out. So I always think, like, okay, what would have happened if something happened between Frank and Tom, and it never took place?
Just like Meacham.
Just like Meacham. And that actually became a thing between the
they
three.
They had that, yeah.
I thought that, you know, Frank was going to let Tom in a little bit more in that emotional sense. It never took place.
He thinks Tom is unnecessary. And did you see that one scene when Tom was sitting outside Claire's room writing something? And then Frank gets mad and storms out and walks between the couch and the chair and says, "I'm going outside because there's no room in here. There's no space." I love it. I love it. It's perfect.
It was great. It was that sense of everything closing in on Frank.
And then we see, what's her name? Oh, God. Jane. First of all, I don't know how Jane has all this clearance, I have to say.
I love Jane.
But Jane made a comment to Claire and said, you know, Tom Yates has quite the reputation.
Mm-hmm.
That was an uncomfortable scene, too.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Jane is really meddling in a lot of... I don't know.
All these connections. Chat room, please tell us.
who is Jane Davis? Okay. And what does she want? Because I don't know what her motivation
is. She's playing all of the sides, and she's so hard to pin down and figure out because you never know when she's lying or when she's telling the truth. Like, she will twist different stories to every single person she talks to. I'm like, what does she really think?
And me and Taylor were talking earlier how we think Usher and
Jane.
have different ideas for the future president, because when she was walking in the car, she said something like, "She, what about she? Will she be great? Or he?" Mm-hmm. So I think they're talking about Romero, right?
Yes, they are speaking of Romero, I think.
And Kathy?
I'm
president?
Claire.
Oh,
for the she, yes.
Yeah,
definitely
the
she. Yes. That was Claire. I apologize. You're right. That ignited something. Okay. I totally agree. I think
Claire.
They were talking about Claire.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing. I think that their mind is Claire is the one that they need to get to, because she's the one that they can accomplish the most with. Yeah. Frank is too stubborn and set in his ways.
Yeah. You know, but one thing I do want to add, and because it was just so hurtful to see this whole Aiden and Leanne situation. And I know we're going to, I have to say it, I know it's going kind of fast forward.
No,
but
it's okay.
At the end, when he died,
yeah.
after Leanne gave him the gun, did he commit suicide or was he shot? I don't understand this part. It's bugging me.
Do you have an opinion before I go?
Assumed it was suicide, but like you said, because you see Jane shredding the file, so like, would that just be too easy?
Exactly.
But then the gun was on the bed. Yeah. You can't kill yourself and throw the gun. You're dead.
That's so true.
This is true. This is true.
Okay.
I personally think that it was murder. I do not think that it was suicide.
Okay.
I think that Jane did get to him in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I think that the track down was very peculiar to begin with. We didn't really have a sense that it was Frank that was involved in actually taking down
Aiden.
And I think that she was a part of it. So.
But did you also put the two together that Leanne's fingerprints are on the gun?
Oh.
I did not think about that. That is interesting.
But since it's shredded and they wanted him to die, it's done. Like, the chapter's closed. Like, I mean,
the loose end is closed. Yeah. However, he did send her the encrypted files. So Leanne now has these encrypted files that clearly he wanted her to have. So they are now at his or her disposal, and who knows what she's going to do with them now that she's been pushed out of the administration.
Yeah.
It's not looking good, at least for the Underwoods. It's looking better for Leanne. She's in a much better negotiation point of
I love how Jane invited Leanne for lunch, and then when they were talking, Jane goes, yeah, always have lunch on the books.
Yeah.
Because she does everything so illegal, probably. Yeah. Right? I love it.
So good.
I love it.
Yeah, good catch. Yeah. But what did you think of the relationship between Usher and Congressman Romero? That budding presidency prospect. Clearly, he's been with Romero for a matter of years. I think they mentioned 8 years that he's been involved with Romero. So he's been grooming him. So clearly, there is some incentive to get Romero in a position where he has power. So the fact that he was defending Usher, I speak of. Usher was defending the Underwoods, but also putting Romero in a place where he can win. Usher's just playing both sides.
Usher is a traitor in some ways, but he did say, I don't have a party, I work for candidates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
True. But at the same time, you have to be loyal, and Frank and Doug are so on him.
Right. I don't understand, and I know that this was just a writing decision. I just don't believe the trust and the point of having Usher be a part of the administration. Like, I don't get what Frank's endgame is in having him part of the group.
I agree. He kind of just came out of nowhere for me. I don't really understand what his purpose is.
He just looks like Anderson Cooper every time.
He kind of does.
His turtleneck. But I just have to say, with Romero's question that you asked, here's the thing. Frank would have just closed the door on this committee reopening if he just shut up and just said what he had to say. But no, you had to do that. And then you go against your wife, you talk to Garrett, and now the guy is opening up.
Alex reminds me so much of season one Frank. Did anyone of you guys get that vibe? Because, and I think Frank realizes that, because he gave him that spot kind of more central in the inauguration.
Right.
And just like ever since that speech in season one, it's all about real estate. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that's really interesting. I feel like it's sort of a cycle type deal that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I like how he said, all I wanted was to be Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. You know, America, this is your fault.
Yep.
And now I'm here.
And all Alex wanted was to be whip, which was what Frank started out as. I was like, this is meta.
No, totally. You have a good point there.
I have to mention, so Sylvia Love said something that we probably didn't even think of. She said, Jane likes Claire romantically before herself, too. That's something to kind of put together, right? Jane and Claire. I didn't see that.
Anything goes on the show. Yeah. Like, I could see
they
it.
They swing always.
Yeah. Totally. No. That's interesting. I haven't thought about it that way, but Jane really hasn't made any sort of, I don't know. I don't know if Jane has made that play yet, or at least I haven't seen the.
She just said, let me be of help to you. That's all she said.
Maybe.
Possible.
Yeah.
I have this weird feeling about Usher and Jane. Again, what is their end game? I know that, I have a feeling that Usher is, you know, he's playing whatever hand is dealt to him in the way that you know, as long as he maintains some sort of power. I think he's just power hungry. Mm-hmm. So he's just going to pick the person who's going to have the most power in the end. And if Romero's going to have that, he's going to side with him.
But yeah. But Frank and Claire, again, they know. So I think slowly mm-hmm. they're going to just handle Usher.
Oh, and Doug is on top of it.
Underwood ways. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. And when Claire opened up to Tom and said, oh, you know, he killed Zoe, he killed...
That's crazy.
And she said, so many more are going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so scary.
It feels like she's unraveling a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, she is starting to lose faith in Frank. And she, in their relationship mm-hmm. again, which mm-hmm. I think is a little sudden, though he has made, again, the comments that he has made, putting her down again,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which she thought had disappeared. And now they're back. And now we're seeing a little bit of season three Claire come. It's not good for Frank.
They're losing faith in each other. And I think you could see that at the end of 61, the first episode that we're covering, mm-hmm. They're talking about, like, it's hard to trust people, and they're standing at the desk, and they look at each other, and yeah. they look at the audience. There's just so much tension there.
I was
still.
Just gonna comment on that closing scene. It's so beautiful how even though they're next to each other, there's still space
yeah.
between them.
Yeah.
And that same space is the space that drives Claire to Tom to mm-hmm. open everything.
Yep.
You're not giving her attention. She's running to Tom, and she's not gonna get rid of him.
No. What do you think Frank is going to do about Tom? Because we're still under the theory, or at least I'm still under the theory, that Tom is going to go. I don't know if... I'm still wondering whether or not he's going to get knocked off or whatnot. But what is your sense at this moment in time of what's going to happen to Tom by the end of the season?
I think Frank is going to have Doug plan a big murder scene for him.
Ooh.
I think they're going to get rid of Tom.
My theory that I've kind of been thinking about is... Because you mentioned last week that maybe the writers are trying to introduce a storyline where love matters and Claire mm. really truly does love Tom. Mm. So if Frank does get Doug to get Tom to go, like, will that drive Claire over the edge? Will that be the ultimate betrayal for her? And will that spur her into just some crazy action?
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I just don't know if Claire is the type to leave everything and leave that status and presidency and then one day just run away with Tom.
I agree.
You know, I just, yeah.
I agree. I think that she would like Tom in the picture. I like what you said, Taylor. And I think that there's definitely a possibility that, yes, if Frank kills Tom, she's in the place that she needs to be to get revenge. She's
yeah.
the vice president. She can cause... She did not murder Peter Russo. She did not murder Zoe Barnes.
She was an accomplice.
She was an accomplice.
Yeah.
But she can find a way.
And like, I forget if it was season 3 or season 4, but Frank said something about, like, I'm not going to be able to protect you. So they're on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
they're on their own now
yeah.
when it comes down to it.
And I like how finally Frank is giving in to his sexual desires
mm-hmm.
with Eric. And, you know, him coming over, and then obviously that scene. And also, I think he at the end of the day, he needs his attention, too. Because he sees how Claire looks at Tom.
Oh, and yeah.
He's just so in love with him.
Right. Do you think that... I mean, I'm getting the sense that Eric is simply a fling. It's not going to become
yeah.
more than that.
Yeah.
I think that was very clear, especially when Frank got Stamper to get Eric to leave.
Yeah.
That was pretty evident to me.
He was clingy, too. He's like, I want to stay.
I don't see Eric living. I think that that's going to become a problem. Once Frank is done with him, he's going to. Because he's not going to keep a secret. He's
yeah.
going to get attached, as you just mm-hmm. pointed out. He's got that clinginess to
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see him living.
Everyone's so clingy. It's driving me crazy.
It is. It's an odd thing that this show has taken that turn towards where
mm-hmm.
love, as you said, is
yeah.
becoming a real element to their story building.
Yeah.
And then Sean and Seth in the car with him eating that burger... And then, you know, the writing...
I don't like eating in my car.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the writing in these last two episodes were kind of, you know, different. Like,
yeah.
random lines. Like, for Seth to say, I don't like eating in my car. I mean, it was just weird. You know what I mean? And then, and Tom being, like, the Snapple Facts guy, always saying all these facts to Claire when she's in the middle of a war and you come up to her and you say, oh, you know, when people freeze, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know?
He's just, like, so fake deep. Like,
oh, I know. He annoys me.
He annoys me really so
much. And I have to mention again, I mean, Claire's white dress for the ball. Oh, my God.
It was the shoulderless.
Beautiful. It was fitted. But at the same time, we see what kind of posture she had, the status that it represented. Again, Kamal Harris, shout out to you.
Yeah. I thought it was a really interesting choice for the inauguration. Like, it did show a little bit more, like, shoulder. Not that that's, like, risque, but it was...
And her hair.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And then she changed up the whole vice president room because she said that Donald's room was very dark and boring. Mm-hmm. It was pink, and there was a pineapple lamp. How cute is
Love
that?
It.
I can go on. I'm just saying.
No, it's great. I have no opinion on the matter, so please, we need that side of things.
It was beautiful. The curtains, the drapes, the pastel colors.
The set design and the cinematography in the show is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
They nail it every time. I will agree with that they really set the mood, and it makes you feel like you are a part of it, and that these decisions that are being made about the decor, the attire, it's part of what Washington is about. It does matter. And perception matters.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we kind of see Claire being more human each time, She drinks water now. She goes to the kitchen.
She drinks water now.
She actually does things that humans do. And one thing I have to say, I'm not sure if you guys noticed, but it was so hilarious, when Doug and Leanne were by the mirror, and then Doug says, "You have something in your tooth."
Oh, I know.
Did you see that?
I know, and she... No, it was so good, and I was thinking about that relationship. I'm like, he's so smooth.
I love it. I still think it's going to happen. No matter, like, I just feel like...
He loves his brunettes, so...
He loves his brunettes.
We'll see.
It could happen. It could happen. I'm not saying it won't. It's just becoming more and more unlikely, I think, as time goes on. But it's still possible. Because Doug, if he starts feeling caved in, he could unravel. Because he's not going to go up. He's not going to go to Frank and Claire. Because he can't do that. It's just not his place. So he's going to turn either to the drinking again, or he's just going to be a loose cannon.
Yeah.
So... he could do something rash. He could kill Tom Hammerschmidt, go to jail himself. There's so many different things that can happen with Doug. But I think it's getting to that point where things are getting too risky for him, and he's going to have to do something about it. And I'm surprised. Did you think that he was going to truly do something to Lisa? Because I was getting that sense that by the end of that scene, there was so much tension, there's no way she was getting out of that alley alive.
I thought he was going to kill her. I don't know what you guys thought, but that's right.
No, I agree. Yeah. I just did not
think. He was prepared,
too.
He
was, in the end. He was prepared.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it.
Why? Why do you think he...
He still has a heart. He's not totally cold. God. He put off killing Rachel for a long period
it's
of
true.
Time. He knew he had to. And I think that there was a part of empathy that he had for Lisa. He knows that he ruined her life just as much as he did Rachel's. And I think that there's a part of him that really regrets it. And has that sense.
Maybe it is because of Rachel, because they did have that such intense relationship, and since Lisa was so important to her, even though she's, not alive to see him not doing stuff to her.
Yeah. But for Lisa to go to Tom was interesting, because she knows that if that gets to Doug, it's going to be... She's going to be vulnerable again. But clearly she felt threatened enough to where she felt she was in a desperate place to call out for help. It's going to be fascinating.
I wanted to add that flip phone.
That was a flip phone.
But that was good for Zoe's dad to, bring that to Tom.
Yeah. No, it was an interesting play. And again, Mr. Barnes has been very hot and cold when he wants to come and help Tom. Every single time. I don't want to help you. I'm afraid. I don't want to help you anymore. Don't call me anymore. And then he always comes back. I feel like they've done that 3 times.
Yeah.
So I think that has played out too much. So I don't know why they went back to that. So help him, damn it. I mean, your daughter's dead. Do something about it, or don't. This hot and cold thing, just not playing well.
I just think it's really interesting that we're back to Zoe being this hot topic, because she disappeared for a little while. I'm really glad they did, because like we said last week, that was such a pivotal moment. And it's kind of sparked, besides killing Peter, that was the first, really major boom event.
Oh, yeah. She was the second most important character in the first season. It wasn't even Claire. Claire wasn't even on the radar of true importance yet.
Frank, hasn't really killed anyone after that, right? Since Zoe,
no.
And
Peter Russo, Zoe.
And Peter.
He hasn't done anything himself, no.
It's interesting to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Like we said, we're moving towards maybe Doug's secrets coming out before Frank's, and then causing that rift between Frank and Doug, perhaps?
Agreed. Well, I want to get to Garrett Walker, because that's also very important. That could have huge ramifications.
Frank, you should have listened to your wife. Just listen to your damn wife. Shut your mouth. Everything would have been, you know, okay in your world. Sure, we want stuff to come out, because we want all these great people to get justice and all that. But of course he's going to go and talk now. That was my opinion.
Oh, I agree. I don't understand his ego in this situation. He has the presidency. What is... And again, I just feel like this season, there's been too many moments where I've questioned the actions of the characters. It's almost been out of character. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they just felt like they needed to make these plays to make the plot lines go in the direction that they wanted to. I feel like that's the only reason. But again, it feels out of character. I don't think that a season two, a season three, a four... Frank Underwood would actually go and speak to Garrett Walker in that way. He's too calculated. And unless he's becoming too power hungry and he thinks he's attained that status where he can do that, but please tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he feels like he is invincible now. He is making like more and more careless decisions. And so maybe it is just an ego thing at this point.
I think he wanted to see how confident he was going to be with Garrett's behavior, like, before the court date and all that. He probably wanted to have, like, a restful night with not his mind being all crazy, but it's crazy every day. But I'm sure he just wanted that satisfaction of, okay, you know, I have that under control, but then we see that that made everything go opposite, and Garrett's opening up, and Romero is finally gonna have his answers.
Yeah, and there's a part of Frank that also, he doesn't, at this stage, really trust anybody. I don't think he trusts Claire very much. He doesn't trust her opinion. Mm-hmm. He's losing a little bit of faith in Doug, as he's expressed lately. And Usher, he did not think that Usher was going to deliver in getting Garrett to plead the fifth. Mm-hmm. So that's why he felt it was in his need to go there himself. And it backfired. So now you've got a very isolated Frank Underwood, which is in and of itself quite dangerous. Because he does thrive better when he has those around him, the Claire, the Doug. Those are the people that have stood by him and done the dirty work in the times that he couldn't do it himself.
I think he's finally coming to a realization that, okay, I'm in fire. There's a target on me.
Yeah.
Things are slowly unfolding.
Mm-hmm. Does he regain his power, or is he doomed at this stage?
There's, I don't know. There are just so many things to think about. I'm still thinking about that weird question that Claire asked Doug. I just have to say this before I forget.
Oh, good point.
Remember? Yeah. I think you know why she asked that? Because Doug was with the widow woman at that time.
Oh, yeah. Right? I just thought it was so random.
She did it on purpose.
Totally.
Like, she came from afar. Like, I'm asking you this question. Let that marinate. Bye.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's such a Claire...
That's how she operates.
Such a Claire thing to do.
Yeah. And she and Doug have been tense at times. I just didn't think that it had boiled over to that moment to where it seemed like it was, again, characteristic of her.
Mm-hmm. And Doug was talking about Claire to Frank, and when he said she, Frank didn't like that.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
no.
I just feel like there are just so many things that these next three episodes are going to tell us that I just cannot wait.
There are a lot of different storylines. You've got Frank versus this new war committee. Uh-huh. He's going to have to face them now, what Garrett Walker said. So you also have Frank and Claire. You've got Tom, and you have Tom Hammerschmidt, the Doug possibility. I mean, there are different elements that are at play here, and we only have three episodes to go.
And we still kind of have that looming threat of Kathy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because Kathy is just getting, I feel like, more and more kind of fed up with it all.
Yeah.
As time goes on.
I've sensed that, too.
And she just, like, I think Jane said, like, oh, she has a heart, like, which is not characteristic of any of these characters. And I wonder if that's going to make her do something kind of crazy.
I mean, Jane told Claire that Kathy is not up for this whole gas explosion thing at Holmes, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really a true friend either.
Yeah.
Going to Claire behind her back, and well, obviously, Jane is not a true friend.
Right.
But I think the whole goal was that was a war can be created just so the light will get off of Frank. So that's another thing I'm looking forward to in the next episode.
See
what's happening with that thing in Holmes.
Interesting. Yeah, no, good point. But as you said, Kathy has always been a loose cannon. She made a play when they were at the Republican or the Democratic convention last season. Who knows what's going to happen? But three episodes to go. Any major predictions? Because I feel like we're coming to a close here, especially now that the three of us are going to watch these next two episodes. Something big's got to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm waiting for some clues about Rachel's and Lisa's, you know, situation. I feel like that's next episode will be the time where something is going to be cracked. But also Usher and Jane, they're onto something. I think they're working together. Yeah. Even though they're letting us think and be confused and all these things, they're in for something. So we'll see. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious if we're done seeing the Conways or if they will come back at all. Because I feel like we were talking about Garrett Walker. He's come back in this show at the most inconvenient of times. People pop back up.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if they will make more appearances.
Good thought. I think that Jackie Sharp, Remy Danton, Garrett Walker, those three individuals, I mean, Kathy Durant, those are individuals that have something on the Underwoods. I don't see anything Will Conway has on the two of them.
True.
And so that's why I think Conway's done. I really never liked the character much anyway, so I'm not too bent out of shape that he's disappeared. But I think that that's most likely. I'm worried about Doug. I think that something big is going to happen with his character, at least in the next two, three episodes, because that's the closest thing that could possibly boil over. Obviously, Garrett now saying that there's a possibility that Frank was involved in the whole China campaign finance scandal.
He was the architect.
The architect.
Great line.
That's big.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to face the Senate Judiciary Committee, possibly face impeachment. Yeah. And I've said it many episodes in the past that I always thought that it's possible that Frank could get impeached and Claire could move up. It's seeming more and more realistic.
Yeah. Our live chat has... They do have some predictions, too. So Sylvia said that Claire is going to break it off with Tom if she wants to be president.
So that's... Good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
Because she can't go on.
God, I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, please.
Get him out.
See him dead. We need to see a death. We need to see a real death.
I tell you, both the Toms gotta go.
Both the Toms gotta go.
All these, you know, same names have to go.
Yeah.
It's confusing. Get out. But I want to add the Something Something cast clarified that scene with Sean and Seth in the car. He said, I think the line from Seth about not liking eating in his car represents that Seth is struggling to not lose the power and the life that he currently has. He doesn't want to go back to his previous life.
That's a great point.
I would not think of that.
That's fantastic. Because Seth has always had that problem. He's always been prepared to take a step in another direction, knowing full well that he could suddenly lose power. Right when it looked like the Underwoods were falling behind in the campaign, he was making a play to join another, you know, another side, to make comments to those reporters.
That's
a really good point.
I can't believe only three episodes left. No. I'm so sad.
I know, guys.
Show.
Tres más, and we have two more to go at least next week, and then we'll join. We'll have you guys here for the season finale in 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
But guys, we've had a fantastic episode.
Yeah.
Ladies, please tell everybody where they can find the two of you on social media.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you to our live chat. Thank you to Sylvia Love and the Something Something cast for being so loyal. And Watcher Carter and Jay Snowdown, or did I say that wrong?
It's Snowdun.
Excuse me. Anyway, so my name is Louisa Sharamatian. You can find me on Instagram at Nobody Reads Anymore and on Twitter at Nobody Reads.
Hey guys, I'm Taylor Gates. You can find me on Twitter at @Alphabet_Ann and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
And guys, I'm Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @TheKevinEllis. Thank you guys for joining us in the live chat room. And always join us SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes. Always know you can hit us in all of those formats. We will see you guys next week with episode 11 and 12, chapters 63 and 64. God, we bounce around. It's always confusing. Huh? It's always a little bit different. But we're so looking forward to seeing you guys next week. Have a great week. See you guys later.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.